For him, this is the beginning of a radical secular consciousness which leads to the breakdown, to the disintegration of Jewish life. For him, therefore, the 17th century and the 18th century, the period of this movement called Sabellianism, is a time of great transformation, of great disequilibrium, which ultimately leads to the creation of a modern consciousness. Now again, I'm not going to try to give you what is the right answer here. It is impossible to date modern Jewish history precisely. Modernization, I would argue, is more of a process than a particular event or year. Clearly, the process of this restructuring of Jewish life, the breakdown of the community, seems to be an all-encompassing dimension which should be at the very center of our reflections on modernity. But clearly, as you can see, historians have debated the issue, have focused on one event versus another, and therefore, when we describe modernity, we have to be very careful. Are we talking about Western or Eastern Europe again? Are we talking about North Africa? Are we speaking about men? Are we speaking about women? Recently, feminist historians have provided another understanding of when modernity begins if you look at the Jewish woman as opposed to the Jewish man. So here again, we must complicate matters, as historians usually do, in understanding this issue. But generally, this should give you a taste of the larger historiography on the subject of modernity. Now, I must insist on one more element by way of introducing our topic of modernity. And that is, what do we do with modern Jewish thought? The course deals with the history of Jewish thought in the modern era. We are not speaking here about Jewish social history or Jewish political history, but Jewish thought. How can we understand the beginnings of modernity with respect to Jewish thought? And here I want to offer you a kind of proposal which might be a useful mechanism, a useful assumption for the entire course. In the pre-modern world, the Jew defined his faith primarily in terms of his relationship with God. In relative terms, medieval Jews were primarily concerned with living a divine life as revealed by God and rabbinic tradition. We used the word mitzvot in our previous lecture, observing the commandments, the ritual commandments of Judaism, meant to obey what God had given them. Clearly, there were other factors that might define Jewish identity in the medieval period, but clearly the factor of what God is demanding of me plays a central role. In the modern world, the judge and jury of the Jews' actions becomes more and more not God, but the non-Jewish world. Or to use a term which Jews have used, the goy. And this could be a pejorative term, or it could simply be a term meaning the non-Jew. That is, what the non-Jew or what the majority culture says about who I am and what I am helps to define who I am. In other words, my own self is tied up to what the other is saying about me. Now, of course, that does not mean that in the medieval period, Jews were not interested in what the non-Jew was saying about them, nor does it mean that in the modern period, Jews were not interested in God. They were. They were interested in God. In the medieval and the modern period, they were both interested in what the non-Jewish world would say about Jews. But what I'm arguing here is a relative argument, that because of the enhanced integration of Jews into the larger culture of European society, Jews became more aware and more concerned about their own self-image in relationship to the way others perceived of them. And therefore, in the modern world, with the weakening of the Jewish community, the problem of providing a rationale for being Jewish before a non-Jewish world became more enhanced. How can I define who I am in reference to the way people think I should be, is really the question. And that might be a useful way for us to understand, therefore, something about the nature of what we are going to be studying in terms of modern Jewish thought. Now, given, if that is the challenge, if you can accept that point, that ultimately the non-Jewish world becomes an important criterion of defining who Jews are and what Jews do, there seem to be at least three possible avenues by which Jews can follow this challenge or accept or grapple with this challenge to come up with an answer about their own identity. Let me throw out these three possibilities and therefore perhaps structure what hopefully will be a course that will follow this. Number one, I want to call the first approach to the challenge the insider approach. That is, in the world that I live in now, I want to maintain my Jewish identity.